I'm just trying to, think of someone who's preparing this. Ready yet? You're on? Oh. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Lachlanshire Council meeting, which is on the 22nd of July 2020. And I'd just like to mention to you, as I've mentioned, it is live, and also I hope you've got your mobile phones on silent, please. That doesn't help. But the last couple of days has been a pretty exciting day for Lachlanshire, in the fact that we've got something like $30 million coming to the Shire, starting on Monday with the announcement of the $18 million for the pipeline from the Bores on the South Bores Drive, which was announced by Mel Pavey on Monday at Orange. And also on Monday we had the opening of the fluoridation plant. And I congratulate Peter on his little ABC stint on Monday morning. That was quite informative, and which was, and we said, because the budget was cold there. And also yesterday we had Sam Faraway come to the Shire and also announced $10.1 million for stage two of the roadworks and information centre at the Utes and the Paddock there, which we've been hanging on to for a long time. And I'd like to congratulate Greg and his staff and that sort of thing for getting that to over the line, because it's been quite a while, and there's been a lot of questions asked, and congratulations to us and the staff for having this fantastic achievement to actually make that happen. And I just wanted to mention too, I think on the internet you've been getting from the Electoral Commission some returns that need to be done. It's nothing to do with council, but it's your personal returns. And I think they've got to be in by next 29th, which is next Wednesday. So that should be on your computer. So you just need to fill those out. I think there's two forms. But anyway, they're there, so if you could do that. That's it. Yep, I knew that. Yeah, I usually put them in separate envelopes or whatever, so that they don't mix them up. Yeah, well, you can do that. You can do that too. Now, the other thing which I wanted to mention too is that, like, usually this month is NAIDOC Week, but NAIDOC Week's actually been put off until November, I think it is. And also we usually have our meeting down at the Rouagery Centre, so we've had, because of COVID, we've had to suspend that and come back to the chamber. So that's something we got. Just wanted to mention the reasons why we changed. So I'd say maybe in November we might end up down at the Rouagery Centre for their for that particular meeting. All right, I think that's about what we've got covered. And I just would like to ask, I'd like to welcome Councillor Reid back here too, after her operation. She looks like she's really walking. And ask her if she'd do acknowledgement of country and herself. Thank you, first place.
Yiridumarang. I would like to pay my respects and acknowledge the traditional custodians on the land in which we gather, the Wiradjuri people. I pay my respect to elders both past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to other Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Island people present today. And Yiridumarang means day good or good day in Wiradjuri.
Didn't we get all that? What did you say it again? All right, would someone like to the confirmation of the minutes of the meeting, ordinary 24th of the... Oh, apologies. Here we go. I don't think we've got this. Councillor Hall, yeah. Of course, he's off for the month. So would someone like to move those apologies be accepted? So Councillor Harris and Councillor Brady. All those in favour? Those against? Carried? Right. It's quite obvious. Councillor Hall's looking down there. Confirmation of the minutes now. Ordinary meeting on the 24th of June 2020. Would someone like to the true and correct recording of that meeting? It's Councillor Harris and seconder Councillor Brady again. No issues in that favour. All those in favour? Those against? Carried. Now, the extraordinary meeting which was held on the 20, 20, 9th of June 2020. Would someone like to move that's a true and correct recording? Thank you, Councillor Bendall. Second, Councillor Carter. There's no issues with that particular meeting. All those in favour? Those against? It's carried. Right. Page 33. Right, 33, Merrill Minutes. There's a Merrill Minute of the meetings and functions in July that were attended. If someone would like to move that those with Councillor Brady, second Councillor Phillips. Right, any questions on any of the meetings? There's been quite a list there for this last month. There's none. All those in favour? Those against? It's carried. Moving on to page 34. 4.2, the Merrill Minutes, written by myself. Would someone like to move that with Councillor Harris, Councillor Phillips? And no questions on that. Not a bad photo of the goanna there. So certainly a wow issue. All those in favour? Those against? Just carried. Right, public forum. We haven't got anything in public forum. Now what? We are on page 36, and disclosures of interest. Anyone can disclose of interest? Councillor Brady for a start.
It's just 10.5. I'm a member of the Rotary Club. That's all. I just want to just add in. Let's do it out of Rotary and the seating out of the lake. Okay.
Councillor Reid.
I just have to disclose an interest in 18.4 in the closed session today on page 342. I'll be leaving the room for that discussion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Blewett. Right, moving along to, there's no more disclosure of interest. We'll move on. Right, page 37, General Manager, 7.1, the Local Government Remuneration Tribunal 2020. Thank you, Councillor Harris. Second, Councillor Carter. Any comments? No, that basically is no change. Yes.
Look, I know there's no change for this year, but for a long time I've been arguing could we go back to the actual minimum. Now, I don't know if anyone in the room wants to do that, but I would like to discuss going back to the minimum because our community for the last 3 years has been in drought and now it's been hit with COVID-19, so I just think it would be good if we could show some solidarity with our residents and sort of take a pay cut instead of just keeping on going as we are.
Thank you, Councillor Blewett. Any comments on the positive side?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think the government's identified the fact a lot of people are doing a bit hard too. That includes businesses and people such as council giving the time to come to these meetings too, so that's why I second that motion. I believe that we should be getting a zero increase this year anyway, so I just want to form the recommendation to get what is in the minimum anyway.
No further comments. Do you want me to put it? Councillor, please.
I'm happy to support Councillor Blewett on that, being that the rate rises, even though we've moved away now from the special rate variation. No public service person, speaking from someone in public service, are getting their incremental pay rise either, which is essentially a deduction. If there is a motion for Councillor Blewett, I'm happy to support.
Councillor Blewett, is anyone foreshadowing another motion to if this is lost?
I'd like to just foreshadow the motion that if this motion is lost, that Lachlan Shire accounts return to the minimum amount of $9,190 for councillors and $9,780 for the mayor at the conclusion of discussion.
Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, I'd just like to speak in support of Councillor Lewis and Councillor Rees. I'm in favour of actually a reduction to this current financial year.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. If there's no more comment, Councillor Brady.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, for many, many years I used to argue that the Mayor should have been paid the maximum amount, and we finally got that to happen. And I also fought many years for the councillors to be paid the maximum amount, because we used to get $35 or $45 a day for coming to a council meeting, and we used to get proper meals and so forth, but that was the only other benefit that we used to get. And during the last millennium drought, some of the people who were against going to the higher rate agreed, and for some of that, quite a few of those were one of your ex-councillors from up at Tottenham, Noel Bennett, who used to be always against it, then he turned around during the millennium drought and decided, no, we should go to the higher rate. I believe that councillors are very underpaid for the work they do. In a lot of other jurisdictions, they are paid a hell of a lot more money than what we get paid. Now, okay, a lot of the times they've got to do probably a lot more meetings, and that is up to us how many meetings we do. And a lot of councillors are fairly active in the community, otherwise they don't become councillors. And that means that they also go to a lot of functions which they're not paid for, and you do that just because you want to do it, and you do it for the community. So I cannot understand why people say, well, we don't want to have an increase. We're not going to have an increase anyway. We're having a zero increase. As I was saying, the public service and the Teachers Federation came out, and the nurses, you know, they went on about the nurses and the COVID-19 and saying what a great job they're doing, and then the state government introduced a bill to reduce the nurses' salaries so they wouldn't get an increase this year. Well, the upper house actually blocked it, and they're still going to get their increase. So what I'm getting here is I agree that with Councillor Carter, we should be going for the maximum rate and leave it as it is. Don't keep chopping and changing. I do agree about, you know, it's an impact on their ratepayers, but we've already just put up the rates. And so I fought against that as well. So, you know, I disagree with going against not having a maximum increase.
Well, thanks, Councillor Brady. I think it's time we put it to the vote. All those in favour of the recommendation? Recommendation, what the recommendation says. All right, because the other was only a foreshadow, depending on whether it was lost or not. So all those in favour of the recommendation, put your hands up. Those against? It's 5-4, isn't it? So that's carried. All right. Yeah, you certainly can. Councillor Blewett, Councillor Rees, I think the same, and Councillor Harris and Councillor Bendall. So four that voted against. Ronnie? Sorry, Peter.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I can understand where everybody's coming from, want to reduce the rates from one thing to another. But I can assure you there's a lot of councils out there that take up a lot of their own time, a lot of their own money, a lot of their own merchandise, and a lot of their own machines to do things on the side for council. So whilst I understand where you're coming from, I don't necessarily agree, because I think a lot of them do a lot more work outside this council chambers than what a lot of people realise. Thank you on that. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Right, moving on now to page 64, 7.2, active resolutions, July 2020. Would someone like to move the recommendation of the report? Councillor Phillips. Councillor Carter. Okay. All right, Councillor Phillips. Second it. All right, any comments when it comes to the active resolutions? We're all going pretty quiet. No, we're all quite happy with what's in there. Right, all those in favour? Those against? It's carried. Right, now page 87, local road, 7.3, local road and community infrastructure grant. Someone like to move the recommendation, please? Councillor Harris and Councillor Phillips. Any comments, questions? Yep, 7.3. You got something with Dennis? 89 of the eight. Yep, gone. No, no, it's not a silly question. It's a question.
Sorry, just with the installing of the solar panels, who are we getting to do that, or will we go out and to tender to see who will give us the most competitive price?
Yeah, we haven't got to that stage as yet, but if Council chose to nominate that project and if the funding body approved it, then we would procure the service in accordance with the procurement policy, which, depending on the final cost, well over the $250,000 threshold. We did it at one time, some, so it would need to go to tender.
So that would end up back at Council before it even went ahead. So, Councillor... We've got Brian. Yeah. Brian Nelson.
Would that request from the Fire Hill Committee about having a barbecue put in the park be included with maybe from that funding if the Council went with it?
It could be, but I think we're trying to complete that requested project from other funding sources. So they should get their barbecue pretty soon.
Yeah, I think it's not been forgotten, Brian, I would say, because they're doing a fair bit of work on the hall there at the moment. So it's starting to look fairly special, actually. I think we might have all their meetings out there because it's warmed up a bit. Yeah, well done, Brian. Councillor Brady?
Yeah, okay. On this $2,128,000, and you've got issues and comments, and one of them is the bicycle and walking paths. Now, those bicycle and walking paths are where they're going to go, and one of the issues, it's 5.612, and the other one was 5.65. You've got improved accessibility for community facilities and areas. Is there any way that money then could be used to buy water for the Gumben Lake, as that is improving a facility in this area? And since this money is going to be used, and you don't actually say what it's actually going to be, it says improved accessibility and community facilities and areas, or that would have to be something that would be. And also, as you know, that they've been talking about building a walkway around the lake as well. So if any of those projects should be or could be funded from this money, I don't know. But there's also the other places that we could spend the money. Now, it then comes up that using some of this money to buy the solar panels or going into the solar panels. I am in favour of solar and using solar, but I'm a bit sceptical when I see the figures, and they are figures which are plucked out of the air, which could be said, well, might be beneficial, might not be beneficial. It's into the future. We actually don't know that if we're going to have those continuous savings in 5 or 6 or 7 years' time, government's only got to change its rules, and they're already talking about charging people who have got solar for the infrastructure to do with the transmission lines. So if this comes along, it could mean that the advantage of solar might not be as advantageous as what they are talking about. So I just thought, you know, you're talking about putting $1 million away for a solar project. Maybe we have to... when I was looking at the figures that you were giving, which is going to come up later on, talking about the savings that could be, these savings that could be, we're not sure they can be. And so we can bring it up further on. Anyway, I just wanted to just bring those things up as part of those so-called... Yeah. Yep.
I'll ask you in the manager what
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. First thing, the list in the issues and comments section of the report is the extract out of the funding agreement. So that gives the definition of the types of projects that can be funded under the program. they're not the projects that we're proposing to do necessarily. Anything we do needs to fit in with those definitions. So cycleways and walking tracks, if there are any of those projects to be done, the only projects I suggest we do are those that are listed in our long-term financial plan that we can bring forward. I'm not suggesting to council that we should be doing additional projects. The report was written for the purpose of trying to encourage council to bring forward projects from future years in order to generate savings which will help the deficit position that we're moving into in years 2, 3, 4 and 5 into the future. Because if we don't address that by these types of opportunities, then we're going to have to come up with other solutions into the future, which will be reductions in services, reduction in staff members, reduction in programs or further rate increases. So this is an opportunity for us to bring works forward, create savings for the future that will allow us to produce a surplus budget. The types of projects that we need to look at for that to occur needs to be projects that we would have normally put out to contract, because if they're projects that we would have done with our own staff, or if they're grant-funded projects, for instance, that are coming out of the Roads Recovery Fund, then we won't get the benefit anyway. So that was why I didn't identify any projects. We need to have a good analysis of the long-term financial plan to work out which projects we should be nominating. The solar project that was proposed was based on the report that I've attached in the business paper. We had the presentation last month from Julian and Evan here. They're industry experts. I don't profess to be able to project what the savings may or may not be, but they are independent industry experts. They've been appointed by the Office of Environment and Heritage to advise council on what opportunities we have. They don't sell the products themselves, so there's no vested interest by them in the information they've provided. Those calculations and the savings that they're projecting are what they believe are the projected savings based on the best information they have to date. If it changes into the future, Councillor Brady's comments could well be right, but all we can act on is what we know today, and that's what they're suggesting we're looking at the moment.
Yep, Councillor Burt.
Sorry, I'll take the General Manager's comments on board. I've just seen here that some of the funding can be used for closed-circuit TV, and I note that Baker Jellico has been trying to get CCTV up there for quite some time, so is that something that we could look at trying to get in this round of funding? I know it's not a major work, but if we can reduce crime or stuff like that, then that helps us out as well. I'm just wondering if that can be looked at. And, sorry, second part. Is this our final say, or will you guys go back and do a whole project that you think maybe we should do and then bring it back to us again, or this is it?
Thanks, Councillor Lewis, ask the General Manager to get back with
you. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yes, things like CCTV in Lake Jellico has been talked about and could be included. Hopefully it's in the long-term financial plan, and it would be one of the things we could bring forward. Based on the report, I would sign the funding agreement and obviously accept the funding, and the executive leadership team will go through the long-term financial plan and identify a list of projects to bring back to council at next month's meeting.
Right, if no more questions, all those in favour? Those against? That's carried. Right, now to page 118, correspondence for July. Would someone like to move the report be received and noted, because we've got to make a recommendation? Councillor Phillips, second. Councillor Carter. Right, any questions on the highest on the supporting the prohibitor of the nuclear weapons? Support it. Any more questions? Any more one comment on whether we should support or deny?
I want to move that we do. Sorry, you move that. Second, that we do support this because my father-in-law went over to Japan at the end of 1945 when they were doing the cleanup of Japan, and the health problems that he had for the rest of his life. Because of the nuclear zone area where they had the nuclear bombs were caused by virtually being in our nuclear zone. And who wants to have anything like that ever happen again? To wipe out the amount of people they wiped out when the country was already free to sign a treaty, I just find it's something that I couldn't. It should be banned everywhere. Any of those sort of arms should be banned.
Thanks, Councillor Brady. And if you go on to page 120, there's a suggested motion that reads as follows in the business paper there. I think that might be what you want to move that, Councillor Brady. Yep, page 120. It says, someone second that? Thank you, Councillor Phillips. So is there any more comment on that? Brian?
The only comment about it is if you've got a bad nation in the world that wants to use it, they're not going to take any notice of this. That's the biggest negative about it all. And probably you can get enough dates about arguments about the Second World War too. And we're probably lucky that they didn't take over Australia, because most of us wouldn't be here now if that was the case.
Thank you. Yep, thank you, Brian. I'd like to use the word common sense, but I'm not going to, because it just doesn't come to it when it starts that sort of carry on. All right, all those in favour? Those against? Carried. Right now to page 121, Corporate and Community Services, Investments, and who's looking up that today? Oh, General Manager. Right. And it's moved by Councillor Harris and seconded by Councillor Phillips. Thank you. Any questions on the investments? A good time to ask them. Not here.
Can you?
Oh, right. Let me just indicate this clearly identified in the report. Yes. Brian.
Question there, like, I can see there that the ones that are unsecure, unsecured. Yeah, I really do feel that in today's economic environment that we're heading into, we need to be moving away from that. And I don't know where you can make your money safe, because a little bit extra money on your interest is not going to be nothing if you happen to lose any of the principal. That's where we'll be more focused on looking after the principal and trying to get a little extra small return from the investment.
Get the General Manager to make a comment on that.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Nelson's comments are valid. For instance, today we had a $600,000 investment to roll over, and the best interest rate we could get on it was 0.99%. And there are some financial institutions who no longer want our money. Fleet Credit Union, for instance, returned a $500,000 investment just recently because they couldn't use the funds, so we had to put that into another account. So it is becoming difficult.
Because the other side too, we don't only make the decisions too, we've got people that actually advise us, but yeah, through the local government, New South Wales too. All right, any more questions? All those in favour? All those in favour? Yeah. Those against? Better, thank you. Gary. Right, now page 133. 8.2, procurement, local... I think it comes from Harris. Councillor Reeds. Yeah, so any comments on the asset disposal policies? Well, they're in front of you. Might be unadopted, right? Any comments? Comments to the General Manager.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm just going to let Council know that we made the changes that came out of the suggestions at the previous council meeting before this document went on public exhibition. So the local preference percentage was increased to 10% and the maximum dollar amount was increased to $25,000. There was no public submissions made, so we're presenting that amended policy. They're effective from when council adopts the policy. They've been applied having regard to the new one.
just what you want to hear. And I think with all these drought stimulus packages, that's the thing. There's emphasis on trying to be local and everything we try to do, unless you can't actually do it. And Councillor Harris, you want to make a comment? Thank you very much. Right. All those in favour? Those against? Carried. Right, move on to page 155, review of information services policies and CCTV policies. Would someone like to move the correct? Councillor Brady, second to Councillor Harris. So are there any comments or whatever on that policy? There's no. Just hang on, Councillor Carter.
Are we able to issue a media release? I've had lots of questions about the supposed the cameras aren't working, you can never get the thing, they were turned off, the vision, rah rah. Maybe a media release that lets people know that there are active CCTV cameras in the main street. And I guess the process, if something happens to your car in the main street, do they come here to talk to you or do they go to the police? And just a general reminder around that, and maybe also giving them the link to your policy as well. Can we hear that? Thanks.
The question, Councillor Rees. Now, Councillor Carter, I think you would say something.
Yeah, I just wanted to just to make sure if they're actually going to have cameras, the cameras would film, what are they going to do? You remember we raised it a couple of meetings ago, an incident down the town that one of the parks, it might have been Lachlan Park or something or other, where it's only been bashed a little bit, but we were sort of told that the cameras weren't on, and when I spoke to the police about it, they said they can't get information from the cameras. So there's obviously an issue there somewhere. So what guarantee is that they're going to be actually used? I haven't heard them being used. There's that many instances in the street where cars are getting backed into and people are doing all sorts of weird stuff, and people are getting bashed, and they do get bashed. That bloke has got rolled here in front of the RSL club there. Late last year, then, there's no footage.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'll certainly take that on notice and talk to the information technology manager about that. I understand that the cameras are working, but obviously they only cover a limited area of the shire. The primary monitor is at the police station, and the police station. The police officers have access to it. If there are any need to go back through footage, and it only keeps the most current 28 days, I understand, council's IT staff are the ones who manage that software at the police request. So I'll ask them to check. Certainly, our entire CBD and all of the township isn't covered, but it's supposed to be the major point.
All those in favour, I'll do that again because I wasn't on. Those against? Carried. All right, moving along now to page 168. We're on to donations. Would someone like to move that report we received and noted? Councillor Harris, second that. Councillor Pat Phillips. And I think we've got two there, two on today, which is a sports. Southern Sports Academy and the Rotary Club. First one, I think the Sports Academy. Do we normally support this one? Yeah, that's one. Cause someone like to move something? How much? Full amount? Right, let's move to Councillor Rees, second to Councillor Lewis, the Ladies' Day. All right, any further comment? No further comment? All those in favour? Those against? Carried. Right now, we're to the Lake Gajilico Christmas Carnival Committee. Oh, I think Councillor Lewis and Councillor Bendall will go with that. Another lady saying, Councillor Brian Nelson, your comments?
With the COVID virus, these donations, we like to think of the money's not used, they don't necessarily get it until they do it, so it goes back to the council's message for next year. I know the Condo 750 committee has made a special request. Hopefully they won't be looking for the full $5,000 if they're going to run the event next year, because they've got some of that anyway, and they know that they're paying expenses which are not, probably not refundable, like insurance and that.
Thanks, Brian. I think you'll find that the staff with some of the previous ones with the Condo 750 and the Tattoo and a couple of others there that we've had to consult with, and money has come back, that we'll be doing the same thing, and hopefully everything is clear by then, but I wouldn't hold your breath. Yeah. They've actually mentioned, if they can't go ahead that day, I wouldn't worry about the money, so we'll just have to keep in consultation and sort of thing, and see how the health of the nation goes. Yep. Well, all those in favour? Those against? Carried. Right, moving on to page 173, cancel. Here we go. Cancelled event donations. Would someone like to move that report, you said? Thank you, Councillor Brady, Councillor Lewis. So, is there any comments through that, seeing we've just mentioned it? All right, all those in favour? Those in favour? Those against? Carried. All right, page 176, 8.6, review of debt recovery policy and hardship plan. Thank you, Councillor Harris. Seconder, Councillor Bendall. All right, any comments on this hardship policy? There's been a fair bit of discussion over time, Maria, before it was put together. No submissions. All right, all those in favour? Those against? Carried. 192. Thank you. Environment, tourism, and economic development, COVID community and economic resilience response. Move, Councillor Harris, and the seconder, Councillor Blewett. So would someone like any comments to be made on the recommendation? No comments. Looks like everything you said, John, is gone.
So is the actual total pool of money going to be the 28,140 plus the 15?
I think this is something too that we're only just getting into too. So, and I think it's a good starting point, and to see how things go, and if we can stimulate any of our organisations within our Lachlanshire. I think a few of them are starting to do that now. So, at the moment, there's not a lot happening. That's the other issue. With the soccer and all that sort of stuff. So I think John putting it together. Right, all those in favour? Those against? Carried. Got a page 198, 9.2, waste transfer station, Boonamount, Condobolin. Moved Councillor Harris, second Councillor Brady. Any comments on the report? Councillor Brady.
Okay. The garbage tipple, or whatever you want to call it now, all these flash names. We've been trying to get a tar road into it for so long. And is this ever going to happen? Can it be also extra funds put into have a tarred road? As I said, it's been going to happen for so long, it's just never happened. But they talk about keeping the dust and the suppression and everything while they're building this new facility, and yet they'll be making dust as they're going into the place. So what can we do about fixing that up?
Thank you, Councillor Brady, for the question. And I think it's John, you...
agent. General manager, then. I'm going to enlist. I can't go much further.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I understand that there were funds allocated several years ago for the sealing of the road, but it was not proceeded with as the funds were required elsewhere. We can certainly look to reintroduce the program, but it's not proposed as part of this site upgrade, but with the other road funding streams that we've got, we can see how we can work it into our future works program to get it done.
Yeah, just a quick update on that. I'm completely familiar with it. That the access used to be off Maple Street, from my memory, and now it's going to be off the Boomer Road. That's part of the development application. It'll be off that road, which will take it away from Maple Street, which is probably good for it. And Maple Street is a bit of a bypass for heavy traffic. Oh, heavy.
I think all I can say is lucky we didn't ditch it. Now it's going to have changed where it's coming off. That could have been part of the reason too, because it went from Maitland Street to Burner Road.
Most people use the Maitland Street going in, but you can come in from the Burner Mount. But even so, as I said, it was going to be done, and it just never happened. And it does. They do get in dry time. It does make a lot of dust.
I think
we'll
agree, so it'll be noted. All right, all those in favour? Whoop, we're not going anywhere. Councillor Carter.
Mr. Mayor, I just see the expenditure of something like that, and we see the Gunmen Lake empty. It's just an observation once again, and I just can't help but think that putting money into that where I don't see it as being a necessary thing was pushed upon it. I would have rather seen the money go into some other public asset where the community can actually benefit as a whole. The rubbish today is managed pretty good, I think. It wastes money here, that's why I think I'd rather say the water government.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Carter, Councillor Phillips.
Thank you, Johnny. Dennis is quite right. There was an argument amongst councillors which entrance that road was to be used in years gone by. But the question I've got for council is, Mr. Bender brought it up the other day, we've got a container, got the generator in it, and a tank at Tully. And her question was, why is it there, and what are we doing about it?
We were paying for the wages and all of that sort of stuff, what went into it. So that's why the thing's there, because we...
Yeah. We'll take. It's been noted, so we'll just we'll get back to you about that. Good question. Right out. If there's any more questions on that report, all those in favour. All those in favour. Those against. Happy. That one is. Oh, it is too. Show of hands, yeah. So I think it's all, everybody's in favour, I think. Yep. I just write down all the names. Thank you very much for that. Sorry about that. Page 236, development data for June 2020. Someone like to move that recommendation, please. Thank you, Councillor Harris. Second, Councillor Filson. Thank you very kindly. So any questions on the development data for June? Councillor Harris.
I was just wondering what the definition of a flat patio over beer garden is.
A flat roof?
Is it actually a roof, or is it a... What's the difference between a flat patio and an even patio?
Oh,
yeah.
I do feel that's not a silly question at all. Nobody's got no idea. Thank you, John.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I think the word flat has made its way into the report.
I think on that note, I'll ask all those in favour. Those against, carried.
Righto, page 239, introduction of animal permits and non-D-sex cats and dangerous restricted dogs. Move Councillor Harris, seconded on that recommendation. Councillor Bendall, and I think this came from Councillor Hall. Read this thing that's just been brought in by the state government. And the report's been brought forward to your consideration. Right, any questions? You certainly can, Councillor Brady.
Any comments, not a question. I would like to know how many people are going to own these dogs and cats. If they're going to have to pay for this, they'll just let them go wild, won't they? Who's going to be paying extra amount every year to keep one of these mongrel dogs or something? It would be best just to ban the damn things, let alone going around just bringing an extra charge. Because once you bring an extra charge in, some people will just say, well, it's not my dog. I don't own it any longer. And who can actually claim that cat's my cat? So it's kind of, I just, somehow, this is like getting a sledgehammer to crack a nut to me. It just seems a bit of a, somebody thought it was a great idea, but I think it's just another impost on councils to do something the state government probably should have done better. Yeah.
Right, any further comments on the report? Councillor Gardner.
Mayor, I just see when we look at the document there, you know, like they haven't really defined what the dangerous animals are, other than sort of state that animals that may look like they're going to hurt someone or attack someone. That could be a little Jack Russell or Fox Terrier, from what I see. So I don't know. I would like to see a bit more clarity as to the sort of dogs they're actually talking about, whether they be German Shepherds or those probably big dogs that do run around wild. And then, you know, like, I mean, I've always had cattle dogs and never had one attack a person. Well, maybe it's your sort of. Only on their own property. Well, they probably are, but I mean, I'd like to see a bit more clarity on that because, like you're just saying, the right way it's written is that they, any dog, really any dog. Yes, that's part thereof, yeah.
The ones they call restricted are the Pit Bull Terrier and the Japanese. You are right. And probably, you know, yet Blue Heel has been the one who has killed the most people. So it's not, they're not in there, but most blue heelers don't hurt anyone unless the person who owns them makes them hurt people, and a dangerous dog. But I just thought when I was reading this, well, if I owned any of those dogs and they wanted to make me pay this extra amount, I'd just let the dogs go.
All right. So any further, Councillor Nelson?
Yeah, but don't the, when you register a dog, they have their ID put in their ear, that's a lot of law, isn't it? Microchip's a word. Yeah. Yeah, so my understanding, anywhere in New South Wales, you lose your dog, take your dog to Sydney, you lose it down there, and it ends up in the pound. They can give you the phone call and say, hey, we've got your dog here. Yeah, that's right, but I'm at the house. It's only New South Wales, I thought it was, but anyway, I don't know. But the microchip, yeah, that's. Is that law that you have to have your. So you know who owns those dogs anyway. So if somebody turns them loose, so the cat doesn't have to be microchipped, but you can do it if you want it. That's right.
I think extending on Councillor Carter's comment, any dog can be declared dangerous because a delightful admin person at my local Shire Council accidentally ticked the box that Gavin, Michael Voodle, was declared a dangerous dog. When I registered him, Gavin is a 7.5 kilo cavoodle, who happens to be turning 5 today. But and I was contacted by Willie because it generated something for him that said a dangerous dog was in the Shire. So any dog can be declared dangerous. I'd be pleased to know Gavin is no longer declared a dangerous dog. It's unticked.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you remove a ticket. Right, if there's any further comment, all those in favour? Those against? So I think the point is carried. All right, moving on to page 244, draft energy sustainability plan. Would someone like Councillor Harris. Seconder. Councillor Carter. All right, any comments on the plan?
I mean, I've already made it anyway. It's just, I think some of this is just a bit of airy-fairy. Because I do agree that people who came gave a good presentation, I think they do know their business. But this is to say what's going to happen in the projections, anything other than the same projected never actually ever comes out the same unless it's a picture on the screen. And I don't agree that always projections ever work out to be what they say they're going to be.
Thanks, Councillor Brady, for that comment. I think there's any further comments. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried. I'll go back to it. Did I miss it? Oh. I'll make a mark of the water. Right. Am I going to page 270 or not? Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry, Paul.
We're just on page 256. We've got a listing of Lake Jellicoe netball courts. Just want to run how you define that. We've got netball courts, tennis courts, all resolved into one. And the amount of issues for power, how do we define that?
Consideration list. Just want more clarification. The word? Yes. Very smooth. Very smooth that one. What's going?
Thanking Rowan. Thank you, Rowan, for that. I just didn't know how, because I know, for instance, I wouldn't be surprised how much it costs for our rec lights at home, but the tennis lights, I don't think they've been turned off a couple of years apart from once or twice, that's it.
I just wanted to make sure I got a recording of you. Thank you. Because I think we've actually moved and seconded that one. That report's been done. All right, now we go to... We're going to page 270 now. At 9.6, live and local music program. Would someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Harris? Councillor Carter, I think it was. Yep. Any comments on that to report, the live music program? Councillor...
Is this a project that's going to be managed through us and our current tourism officer, because 14,000, whatever it is, plus GST doesn't seem like a significant amount of money to outsource and run for mini live music events. So I'm wondering, is it going on top of what our tourism department is already doing?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, it will involve Deborah's time, Chief. At the back here at the moment. It will involve her time, but there also is a curator that forms part of the program. There's funding as part of that money goes towards the curator. And the curator is sort of, I guess, the person that puts all the musicians together and is the link between the venues and the musicians.
All right, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Will.
So,
when the curator position, will be looking to do fill that locally, or because they'll need music expertise or dealing with bands and stuff, will be looking further afield?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we would be looking locally, but we have been told by the live music office that we can go wider if we're unsuccessful in getting someone local.
So there's a bit of homework being done towards it at the moment, so we're still trying to identify which way we go. All right, all those in favour? Those against? Carried. All right, next one, Adam. Page 276 now, 10, infrastructure services, utility monthly update. Would someone like to move the recommend that? Councillor Phillips and the second art. Councillor Carter. All right, any questions on the Councillor Phillips?
Mayor, yeah, just on the Goobang Creek Rural Water Pump Station. Why is that breaking down? Is that some... something coming from upstream a bit from farmers, or it's just something's got to be done?
I'll get the infrastructure. Adrian, if you might answer that delicate question.
The works at the Goobang Weir are purely to improve safety for the ongoing maintenance of the off-taker.
All right, any further questions? Councillor Brady?
I've got it now. Finally got it. Adrian, I've got some people from Randolph's Parade are saying that the sewer pump around there is actually smelling fairly badly, and there's a lot of quite a few complaints given to me from people who live around that end of town about the lavender farms not very nice. So is there any way that you can look into that and just see if they're, what their concerns are?
Adrian, can you take note? Do you want to say anything?
Were these complaints, Councillor, before the upgrade or since the upgrade has occurred?
Okay. These complaints were of yesterday. Okay.
Take note. Work on that one. Got any other further comments, Councillor Harris?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just wondering at this early stage how the Lake Julegao fluoridation plants are performing.
There's actually, I think, 10 people at the opening, and they all walked out with white feet. The call's been overdone. I'm very pleased that the ABC man asked you if you were going to be there. You see, I've got to work, Councillor Phillips.
Just on the fluoridation over at the lake, John, very impressed with those people that did come, those that didn't. Oh, I guess you've got their own reasons. Thank you.
Not naming anyone.
I was... busy giving media interviews and I just could not attend at the time.
Yeah, I see Ewan did take you on for a while, didn't he? Yeah. All right, all those in favour? Those against? Carried. Right, page 281. Roadworks monthly update for June. Would someone like to move the recommendation so we can talk on it? Councillor Bendall. Second to Councillor Harris. Any questions? Councillor Brady?
Yeah, around the schools, Adrian, what's the upgrade for? What are we upgrading around the school precincts?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Footpath upgrades, improving the traffic movement, the delineation, improving the safety of the movement of everybody, vehicles and pedestrians, improving the road surface, slowing down traffic, and I think that's nearly it in a nutshell. Stormwater as well.
Right, so now you know what's going on. All right. Any more further comments on the update? Not all those in favour. Those against, carried. So it moves to page 293, Recreation Monthly Update for June. Someone like to move that recommendation. Councillor Harris, Councillor Bendall. Any comments on the monthly update for the recreation? I've just got one question there with the new bins in the streets in Tottenham. Are they, is there general rubbish and recycling in those bins? Because I think the comment's been that maybe the recycling in general rates should be closer together and identified more, because apparently caravan people are going through and just chucking them in whatever bin because they can't read signs. I might talk to the faker about that one. Yeah. Any other comments? All right. All those in favour? Oh, sorry. Go on, Councillor Paddy.
We'll look together. Out of Tullamore Jail, all that work going ahead as should be, because you've got to say some stuff is not going to start till July. That's been going on, that power supply business has been going on there for so long. Haven't we got it? Well, why are they saying it's not going to start till July? It'd be good to see it all up and going. It's been going on for years.
Councillor Bailey, for question, I'll say anything.
Works are going on site at the moment, Councillor. There have still remained to be some hiccups on site, and it may take some time to iron those hiccups out. I'm not entirely sure. We're still working through the time frame as to how long it'll take to iron that out. I agree that it has carried on for too long, and it continues to be a frustration that this project has lingered for so long. But we're certainly a lot closer now to having it completed and upgraded to what we were at the beginning of the year. All I can say, Councillor, is that we are very, very close.
Okay, so any further comments on the update? Not all those in favour. Those against? Carried. Right, move it to page 320, I think it is. 10.5. Rotary Condoblin request for a partner. Water. All right, water, 10.4, water allocation, July 2019 to 2020. Someone like to move the recommendation, please? So we've got Councillor Harris, second. Councillor Phillips. Any comments or questions, etc.? There's no. I just woke up. Councillor Blewett. What a ladies first.
So forgive my ignorance. Is that the best amount of money we can get for megalitres? Is it 167.65? And second part, so I don't have to come back. With the new charges at the raw standpipes, are we going to be doing some media release to explain what those charges are and get it out to the community? Because I highly doubt they would have read the entire operational plan from front to back. So we might need to do some informing them that that's now coming into place and that sort of stuff.
General Manager, a comment on that?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we will do the media and advise the community that the charges are coming into place. And the 167, yes, that was the best price we could get. We have accepted it and have sold it because we were going to lose the allocation if we didn't. And it was right at the end of the financial year. So it was that or roll it over and risk not getting an allocation if Office of Water reduced the allocations this year.
Sorry, third part of the question. Where's the money raised going to, and what's it going to go towards or be used for?
At this stage, it was last financial year, and it's gone into our consolidated income. It'll be reported in the final financial results. It hasn't been reserved anywhere else this year.
My question centres around Gumbend Lake as well.
my understanding was we were selling the water for the last financial year, but this table indicates that there's no megalitre. Oh, no, so it's no usage. So what's the megalitres allocated for this financial year to Gumbin Lake? So it is right. I am reading it as none. So at what point then, because we sold this to the Gumbin Lake Committee, we're going to sell your water so we can fix your lake, but we're not going to fill the fixed lake, and if it continues to rain and then high heat and dry out, then all the money we've spent on the fixing of the lake essentially may not result in anything?
Adrian, question. Answer that quickly, please.
We can't create water from when we don't have any available. Until general security allocations get increased, you're right, the lake may well remain dry. There is always the option for council to purchase a water allocation from the open market. With our current financial situation, I do not believe that's something that we can do, but that's of course something that council can discuss. So unless we get rain and Wangaloo gets full, there's no possible way we can fill Gumbin Lake this year, and that's what is in the recommendation in the report.
So it was general security we sold, not high security? So we sold high security on the notion we'd give them back their high security, but we're not giving them back anything?
The high security water that we sold was a temporary transfer, so that allocation of high security water has been reallocated. It came from the Gibson Vale allocation, so it wasn't actually Gumbin Lake. It would have or may have been transferred to Gumbin Lake, but the proceeds were, by council's decision, was to use it to do work on Gumbin Lake. So we haven't actually taken anything away from Gumbin Lake because we only have a general security licence for that facility.
So we haven't obviously sold enough water to pay for all of the improvements and the remedies we've done at Gumbin Lake. So potentially we've thrown $250,000 maybe, was what we may have spent, into the air in the whim that Wyangla Dam might fill up. It's not going to fill because there's currently lots of downstream flows because they're trying to raise the dam wall height. So they're not allowing it to get too full at the moment so they can get that raised by 10 metres. So if we're not going to have water this year, the likelihood of next year is fairly limited as well.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The dam is filling. They haven't had enough rain to fill it, but they may well release water in the future as they start the construction if they don't, so it doesn't get too full. But they haven't released anything for the purpose of construction at this stage. The level it's risen to is what's fallen and what they've been able to catch. We put a report to council last October proposing the sale of the water that we didn't need to try and generate some revenue to do work at Gumbin Lake and some other projects, and council approved the sale of some of that water sufficient to fund the improvement works that we've undertaken, and the balance was to be retained until later in the year to be certain that we didn't require it. As the end of the financial year approached, we came back and recommended the sale. The market had dropped, and now we sold it because we would have either lost that water in the previous financial year or rolled it into general security. And as it turns out, we wouldn't have got an allocation for it anyway.
Thanks, Adrian. So just further to add to what the General Manager said, the works that were completed at Gumbin Lake were done with the sale of that, and they were done to less than what the budget was allocated. So we haven't spent anywhere near $250,000. It was more like, I think it was $117,000 of the $128,000 raised from the sale of that allocation.
I think that answers your question. We're in a sort of a bit of a precarious situation when it comes to this lake, the water. I think the raising of the Wyangla Dam wall is not going to happen for the next couple of years. I don't think we'll find that way. that, you know, there's a fair bit of work in consultation again. Councillor Nelson, you've got a comment?
Yeah, just to comment, I've said this before. When the Gunbend Lake was built, 700 megs would have filled it, and also they were relying on the high river flows, which was a... whenever the river is running high, we could just pump the water without drawing down on allocation. And the rules have been changed, and that's made it so hard, putting a drought situation, dry years into the scenario, so hard. But if things return to normal, seasonal-wise, well, I think we'll be able to keep it going with that, and a bit of a high water transfer, if possible, just to top it up.
I think also it's not that politicians don't know our procurement, our problem anyway, because we put it from different angles, not only from the social and mental health and environmental and everything else, we'll be still pushing at the thing that there's no water, we can't do much about it. Councillor Brewitt?
Again, can we make sure that we actually communicate this decision to the public and the reasons behind it while we're not filling Gunbend Lake again this season? I think it needs to be communicated early and now so they understand what the process is and why it's happening, just so they can get their head around it as well.
Do you agree, Councillor Brewitt? Give them over, do you understand? Did you want to say something, Councillor Brady? Oh, you're over in the corner there, eh? It sounds like you might want to say something.
They have finally has. I keep pressing but nothing happens. Can I just ask, how much high security water do we have as an allocation over the whole of the Shire? I know that our town water supply has not been affected. We're still going to have 1,500 megs, and we've still got 800 for the bore out of the mission. So that's 2,300 megalitres of water that we have as general security water. 800 of those megalitres, I know we can't transfer, you say, because it's full that bore and it can't be used elsewhere, which to me seems ridiculous since we don't use the bore, and I can't understand why we can't transfer that bore water to Gunbend Lake, all the allocation for it, so we can actually put water in. But I also just want to know, how much high security water do we have besides the Gibson Vale? Because in this report, it shows over 4,000... 6,000, whatever, I don't know, quite a lot of megalitres of water that we have as allocations all over the Shire. Yet, we don't seem to be able to ever find enough to put water into Gunbend Lake. And as I've been saying for many years, Gunbend Lake, and that's years ago, used to put more than $2 million into the Condablin economy and the Lofford Shire economy. And yet, we do whatever we can to make sure we don't put water in it. I just can't ask why we aren't going bending over backwards to find ways to get water into that place. And Councillor Nelson had said years ago, when we first got general security, well, once we didn't have these things called general security, we just had a licence. And you had an ordinary licence, which you got an allocation for. Then they decided that high security was worth more money, so they bought a high security licence. High security licence used to be for about 4 acre feet, and that was to give water for your your stock and domestic. That was called high security. And now they've made high security into a very costly and profitable thing for the government. I just like to find a way that we can get water for Gunbend Lake when 4,000 megs a day could be going past the place and we can't even get 1,000 over a month. I just find it incredible to think that we can't get water for that. And to say, for a politician, an ex-politician, to come out and say, go on the open market and buy it, I mean, no wonder he wasn't going for a third term. Anyway, I'd just like to know how much megs we have in high security and if any way the allocation over at Willow Bend can be transferred. They say it can't be, but there must be a way around that as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There is different types of water allocation. There's general security, there's high security. is Stockton Domestic, local water utilities, and also groundwater as well. In the table provided in the report, it is listed what is local water security, what is local water utility, and that is earmarked for town water supply only. So that cannot be transferred or allocated to other means. And that is where the predominant volume of council's water licence lies, in those town water supply licences, and they are for that purpose. The volumes of high security transferable licences is restricted to the Gibson Vale licence and the Condobolin Abattoir licence. Now, when we have full allocation of those, that's 860 megs. That's all. Other than that, the only transferable licences that council has are the general security, and it's those which we use predominantly to fill Gumbend Lake. So all the groundwater and the town water supply licences you see there cannot be used for that purpose.
Okay, I do not understand that, but what I don't understand is we're going to put another bore in, a third of the way to Forbes. We're going to cut water that comes down the river and the creeks, but we're going to still put in a pipeline, pipe down to Condo, and we've got a bore out there which we don't use, and we get told that the water is not suitable. You can't even shandy it, because if you do, you could make it very poisonous. I just want to know why, if we can't use that bore, that license cannot be transferred by, you know, negotiation, having it transferred to the Gumbin Lake. The allocation, you can still leave the bore there. Since we're going to have another bore up there, there's no reason for that bore any longer. So why can't... And what's going to... Are we getting an allocation for that new bore? How are we going to get water from that bore if we haven't got an allocation for it?
Thanks, Adrian. The general manager first that.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So, once again, the allocation at Willow Bend Road is only for town water purposes. So if it was transferable, we still couldn't put it into the lake because it's not a town water purpose. It was given for town water. There is also discussion with the department that we may have to relinquish that licence in order to get an equivalent licence at the new borefield for town water purposes. That discussion is happening. You know, there were conversations this week around it, because to avoid the need to buy a further or obtain a further allocation. But it's only for town water.
Do you want to say any more, Adrian?
It's covered.
Yep. But anyway, it's not, we know where you're coming from, so I think you want to, look, we're doing everything we can, talking to the politicians and whatever, and it's just much a concern. Well, they've got it. Yeah, well, we want... Yeah, no, but I think... I think while anger is at 16%, mate, we ain't got no negotiations. Anyway, we'll leave it at that, and I think we'll have Councillor Harris. We'll just get the General Manager to make a comment, and Councillor Harris will say something.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Your suggestion, Councillor Brady, is one that I'd like to think about, but I couldn't see how a purchase of a high security water licence would meet the criteria for those funds. I did have one idea last week. It's probably a silly one. I mentioned it to the Director of Environment and Tourism, and he laughed at me. But I thought we perhaps should start to promote the lake as the lake with no water, and set up a photographic opportunity out there for the grey nomads and the tourists that come into the facility to take a photo of the lake, with a hashtag underneath it, to post it to the Water Minister and to the relevant government departments. Everybody that takes a photo, post it there, and just put some pressure on to try and get an allocation for the purpose of a supply.
Yeah, I don't think it's as silly as it sounds either. Yeah, and especially if it continues to do it.
I might ask Councillor Harris, I think he might have a question. You're just staying on the water theme. I mean, I agree totally with Councillor Brady. I mean, it's been one of those issues that's been a thorn in our side for a long period of time. But I do take hope. I mean, I just keep looking at the Lake of Jellico fluoridation plant. I thought that was never going to happen. So I think one day the Gumbend Lake will have an allocation that will maintain it for many years to come. So patience to all those who wait. But we did go through that discussion, remember, back in 2008 or 9 when the lake dried out before, and we did investigate the cost involved in purchasing water. And at the time, I was very much in favour of it, but unfortunately it's a numbers game, and it was voted down, so we didn't buy any water. If we'd bought it back then, I think it might have been 1.1 or something like that at the time to purchase the water at that stage, but it didn't get up in council, so here we are today still discussing the same issue. But something a lot less, a bit lighter than that, the standpipes. Can someone just remind the rest of council for me what the price of the raw water will be out of the standpipe? And I guess at the moment there's probably not much use happening anyway, would there?
I'll
just get Adrian to give you a quote on it.
The fees and charges were adopted as $2 per kilolitre, so those 1,000 litre pods that people fill up on the back of their trailers is $2. $2 per pod. And you're correct that the usage is significantly lower now than what it was in summer. You'll see an attachment to the report of a graph of the usage since those standpipes have been implemented. The recommendation is suggesting 1st of August after the public notification.
Right.
I'm just wondering what we have data, is it?
So everyone who wants to go and get water from the pipes, do they get the swipe card and that's what they use every time they go there, is that correct? Just as long as we need to explain this to everybody, that's all right.
Okay. When the standpipes were commissioned, the tags were handed out for free as per council's resolution. So we handed out 135 of them at both villages. They're registered and we have people's details, phone numbers and email addresses to send notices to. And we can also send invoices to those addresses that they've provided us. And also in the fees and charges, any new tags will be $43 from now on, because there is quite a charge for each of those tags. So, thank you.
If people don't pay their invoice, can we deactivate their tag? Ah, fabulous.
Looks like we've got it all covered, and you're happy about that too. Oh, righto, yeah. Righto, all those in favour? Oh, it's Councillor Carter.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, I just curious one back to Adrian. I think it was Pete Dorr told me some time ago when he was on council, I can't remember, that it was dearer, I think it was what the amount was, but for people to drive over and actually fill those pots up and bring them home, it would have been cheaper to turn the tap on at home. Is that still the case?
By my calculations, yes. But it's a feel-good notion for people, and they would, I guess, there's an element of reducing the demand on the town water supply also, and there's you don't need to abide by the town water restrictions if you are using river water. So that's why they are so popular.
Yep. And Councillor Blewett.
Just for clarification, it's just going to be automatic. They'll swipe their card, you'll collect the data, and then you'll send the invoice out to the people. So no one's going to have to do anything. It's just going to be automatic.
Excellent. Yeah. I can see one ute with a pipe on the front page of the Argus.
Yep. Righto. All those in favour? Those against? Carried. Right, moving on now to page 320. Is that right?
Yeah.
Rotary conduct request for partners with council. Move Councillor Harris. Second that. Councillor Blewett. Is there any comments or issues? Or just to discuss? Sorry.
Just a comment, and yeah, they showed a failure of them in the attachments here. It seems a lot of money for what we're getting, I would have thought, in today's world, but maybe not moving with the time. Yeah, well.
Yeah. Brian, I was up at Felton's when they were just. We were looking at them, and they told us the rate they'd sell them to us, which is cheaper than what they'd actually normally sell them. So that's the price, you know. That's the price of things these days. You just got to go along with it. That's the deal. And we decided to do four because we got a donation as well from a Rotary Club in Sydney who wanted to help us during the drought and help the communities in the drought. And so they came up and... back at when we had the picnic races, it didn't happen there, wouldn't it? Anyway, but they came up then and gave us a donation towards this as well. So that's why we went for four. Originally, we were going to only have two. If we go and buy them, we've got to pay the GST, and we can't get it back. If the Shire buys them, they can buy it and get the GST back. So that was the reason why we decided to go through the Shire.
Thank you, Councillor Brady. Brian?
Did you try... get a quote from any other supplier or something of the sort? It just seems a lot of money to me for what the photos show me.
Brian, Felton Industries are in Condo. We go elsewhere. We're going out of Condo now. We've just talked about local procurement, and here we are locally procuring something from an industry. And Felton's, I was up in Alice Springs about 2 years ago, and I walked past the bench and had on it Felton Industries written on it. So they supply them everywhere, and I think you find they're very competitive, and I think you find that the price is also very competitive. If you went to go and get it out of town, you'd have to have transport cost of getting. As you know, you go to buy anything from anywhere, the cost of freight is sometimes nearly as much as what the product is. So it's, without these local businesses which we have, and these businesses which we have here in Condo and Lake Angelico, with our manufacturing, our towns would be a damn lot poorer. Our population, we would have been amalgamated if we didn't have those people in our area. And so we want to do whatever we can to make sure that we keep them.
Councillor Brady. Now, Councillor Harris, I think, wanted to make a comment.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Councillor Brady on that. When I first looked at them, I thought, yeah, they're expensive. But when you actually look at the quality of the build, the construction, I think that's very important too. They just look finished. And I think they'll be an asset in the longer term out there. My only question would be further to the general manager's idea, which I think has actually got merit. Can we erect one of those temporarily out in the middle? So during the summertime, the photo opportunities, people have got shade for selfies and... That's
very much for that comment, Councillor Harris. We'll go with the races at the bottom of the lake. Yes, Councillor Blewett.
Are we actually just getting those plain ones, or are we going to get some ones with colour? Because the ones with colour look kind of fun. Any price difference in the colour to the... I don't know, I think the colour ones look fun. Instead of just boring old grey ones.
Hang on, we get a comment from Adrian now. I think he might be right in this colour coding.
Generally, the colours are restricted to Dulux colours, and they can mix and match. The plastic end caps are generally those six colours provided, and there's generally no extra charge for that. Yeah, staff will look into that.
Yep. What's that?
Oh, yeah. White.
White. Yeah.
All right. All those in favour? All those in favour? Oh, thank you. Those against? It's carried. All right. Page 327, I think we are. Deputations. No. Notice of motion is nil. Notice of rescission motion is nil. Delegates reports nil. Yeah, we're not allowed to go anywhere, are we? Thank you, Councillor Nelson. You might give us a brief one on your transport, I think it is.
The road safety committee one is done online at the same day as the budget meeting. I come over here and did it, and it was done online. It's the usual thing. We'll get a report from the road safety officer. Everything's sort of going pretty well as normal. They did have a bit of a celebration day for the 10th anniversary of a free cuppa for the driver. Day after the last time there was a meeting, I wasn't able to attend it. I didn't find out about that until the day before, and I had a doctor's appointment, so I couldn't get over there at 10 o'clock. But everything's progressing quite well with that, doing much of the usual normal stuff. Get an official report from Melanie comes in our business favour, and again, close four times a year, I think. And we didn't host that meeting. If there's going to be a next meeting, together, it'll probably be in Condoba. If it's a bad time, it'll be done online again, obviously.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for that. Thanks for your commitment to that. And we just need to get the COVID under control somewhere. But, there was Neil's correspondence, questions which were those was been given. I have Neil and petitions from Neil. And before we go into closed session, I'd like to have a 5-minute break so you can have a cup of coffee and get yourselves all fueled up so we can go through the last session. Thank you. We're back in going into closed session, so would someone like to move that we're going into closed session? Thank you, Councillor Brady. Second that. Councillor Phillips, by the look of things. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried. Right over first. Right, councillors, we're going to move out of closed session now. Can I have a mover for that?
Yes,
Councillor Brady. Second to Councillor Carter. All those in favour? Those against? Carried. Now we got that came out of 2.1, tenders proposed council works depot Condoblin. Move Councillor Peter Harris, second at Deputy Mayor Paul Phillips, that the Director of Environment, Tourism and Economic Development report number R20-162 be received. 2, council declined to accept any of the tenders submitted. 3, council resolved to enter the negotiations with the contractors who submitted the 4 lowest tenders to understand the significant cost variation between their tenders. And 4, council authorised the general manager or their delegate to commence negotiations with Irons Construction Pty Limited, Akara Pty Limited, North Construction Building Pty Limited, and design with a view to entering into a contract for the construction of the depot with one of these tenderers. And 5, a further report be presented to council once the tender negotiations have been completed, and that was carried. 18.2, rates and charges donations, 2020-21, moved at Councillor Dennis Brady, seconded at Councillor Dave Carter, that 1, the Director of Corporate and Community Service report R20-130 be received and noted.
and that was carried. 18.3, tender assessment, three swimming pool operations, moved Councillor Peter Harris, seconded Councillor Dennis Brady, that one, the Acting Director of Infrastructure Services report number R20-178, tender assessment, three swimming pool operations be received and noted. Two, the revised tender from M&K Thorpe for the operations of the Condoga swimming pool for the 2023 swim season be accepted. The revised tender from Leisure and Recreation Group for the operation of the Lake Vigilico swimming pool for the 2023 swim season be accepted. And four, the revised tender from J&T Fulton for the operation of the Totten swimming pool for the 2020 to 2023 swim season be accepted. Five, the Mayor and the General Manager be authorised to sign the contract documents and affix the Council seal, and that was carried. And 18.4, operation and management of the Willow Bend Sports Centre, moved by Councillor Peter Harris, seconded by Councillor Melissa Reid, the one, the Director of Environment and Tourism and Economic Development report number R20-182 be received. Two, that the Council authorise the General Manager to enter into a 12-month licence with the Braden Davis personal training for the operation and management of the Willow Bend Sports Centre. And three, that Council authorise the General Manager to enter into a further 2-year licence after the initial 12-month licence period with Braden Davis personal training, subject to final agreement with the Department of Education and the overall compliance with the licence by Braden Davis during the initial 12-month period. And that resolution is carried. 18.5, Forbes Art Society Sculpture Trail, moved at Councillor Dave Carter, seconded Councillor Dennis Brady, as one, the Director of Environment, Tourism and Economic Development report number 20185 be received. Two, Council support the sculpture down the Lachlan Sculpture Trail and provide $33,300 in funding towards the project every year over the next 3 financial years, subject to all necessary approvals being obtained. And three, Council authorised the Mayor and the General Manager to enter into a funding agreement with the Forbes Art Society and affix the Council seal if required, and that is carried. 18.6, 81 Logan Street, Lake Jellico, moved Deputy Mayor Paul Phillips, seconded Councillor Elaine Bendel, that one, the Director of Environment, Tourism and Economic Development report number R20188 be received and noted. Two, Council rescind part three of the resolution number 2020-142, and three, Council rent the property number 81 Logan Street to the local doctor in accordance with the option two from this report, and that was carried. 18.7, a senior staff update. Councillor Dennis Brady, seconded Deputy Mayor Paul Phillips, that one, the General Manager's report number 20-187 be received and noted, and that was carried. And the meeting closed, and we're finding a time. And the minutes of the meeting will be confirmed at the ordinary meeting that's held at the 26th of August meeting, 2020. Anyway, I do declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much for your attention.